Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Mark Sunday to the broadcast. Mark is Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Oracle, a $38 billion provider of enterprise software and computer hardware products and services based in Redwood City, California. In that role, Mark has responsibility over the technology infrastructure of the global organization, as well as the operational infrastructure for Oracle's on-demand product offerings. Prior to joining Oracle, Mark served as the CIO of Siebel Systems, a customer relationship management software tool, which was acquired by Oracle in 2005. Mark has also held roles at a variety of other technology organizations, including Motorola, ST Microelectronics, and Texas Instruments. Outside of Oracle, Mark has served on several boards, including that of Altiris, now owned by Symantec, and is also a trustee of the Utah Technology Council and Economic Development Corporation of Utah. Mark received his Bachelor of Science in Engineering degree in Industrial and Systems Engineering from the University of Michigan, and an MBA from Southern Methodist University. I recently caught up with Mark in Utah, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed the culture of IT within a major technology organization, Principle 2, infrastructure, as we discussed his balance between innovative activities and maintaining appropriate safety protocols in an increasingly difficult security space, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed his strategic priorities for the future and his agenda for innovative future activities, as well as a variety of other topics.
This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Sunday, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mark, you are the Chief Information Officer of Oracle, a company that needs very little introduction, certainly. But for those who may not be so familiar with the role that you specifically play within the organization, I wonder if you could talk a bit about those areas that are under your purview within Oracle.
Okay, yeah. I'm responsible for the global computing infrastructure and networking infrastructure and how we service our end users on nearly 100 countries. My team's about 50 strong supporting those folks around the world. And so everything from end user services up through a variety of different things necessary for them to communicate, collaborate, and execute their job. I'm complemented by Oracle's development organization that also contributes to automating the processes across the company as they deploy applications. They have the responsibility of being the first implementer of many of the new products. So between what we do within my organization and my counterparts in development, we serve all of our 140,000 plus end users.
That's great. And I wonder, obviously, Oracle is fundamentally a technology company, one of the legendary software and technology organizations. And as CIO, having spoken with a number of your peers who run a comparable size major technology organizations, IT departments, I wonder if you could talk a bit about the sort of balance between the blessing and the challenges of being surrounded by technologists. I suppose on the one hand, you never have to make the argument to your colleagues that technology ought to be considered or ought to be focal or ought to be strategic. But then on the other hand, you are surrounded by engineers and by people of deep technical expertise. Can you talk a bit about culturally what that's like to be within the milieu of a major technology organization running IT?
Well, first of all, I think it makes it very exciting for the team. So beyond the normal mission IT organizations have of making their function, their organization, whether it be public or private sector, more effective in delivering value to their customers, we take on some additional roles. We are by far the biggest influencer. If you look at the total scope of Oracle technologies used at Oracle, you know, we have the broadest implementation. And if you add not only what we do to run our company, but what we do via our managed cloud services or our public cloud offerings, we have by far the broadest and largest implementation of Oracle technologies. So we're the biggest influencer. We're the first adopter. And providing that we're really successful with those two, we're the best promoter. So those roles make it, you know, more exciting for myself as well as my team to be an integral part of the products and services we offer. The challenge is that, you know, we are the first adopters. So we take technologies very, very early. In fact, you know, a couple of years ago, we acquired a company, Bitzer Mobile. Literally on the day of acquisition, my team started working with them. What would it take to deploy that? And it became part of Oracle Mobile Security Suite. So we're integrally involved, but as a result, we also take very, very early releases and spend a, you know, really significant focus on that. I personally enjoy that we work with well over 100,000 technologists that are coming up with great ideas. In fact, if you look at my organization, there's probably not an IT team in the world that has a bigger quiver of technology. Everything that Oracle's ever built, plus everything that came out of the 120-plus acquisitions we've made, all of that's available. So perhaps the biggest challenge we have is deciding not what to do, but what not to do. You know, just because we can doesn't mean we should. And so that's actually one of the biggest challenges is, you know, keeping the focus because there are so many opportunities given a company with the capability that we have.
You bring up several different topics I'd like to dive in a little more deeply to, Mark, one of which is being that first adopter, that first customer of the company. Can you talk a bit about the way in which you and your team interact with those other complementary aspects or parts or divisions of Oracle as you're beginning to test and use and integrate new solutions and the way in which you provide that feedback loop back to the organization as to what's working well, what ought to be amplified, what ought to be turned off, your own impressions about the general usefulness of what you're trying and how that might apply then to your peers as CIOs and other organizations?
We actually get involved at a variety of stages. One is that we've built a capability, and it's a recognized need, and it's something that wasn't potentially on a product roadmap that finds its way, because if Oracle needs it, then it's likely that others will as well. So that's very early on where we affect prototype capabilities. Next is more like the example I raised earlier about Bitzer Mobile, where right up front we're engaged with them on what does it take to take this technology to be enterprise scale. And then other things, though, we're kind of at the, you know, the back end. Hey, we've got this better mousetrap. Please go off and implement it at Oracle and give us feedback on it. So we can get engaged in a variety of stages. And then the feedback is directly with product development relative to features. But interesting thing is relative to support, you know, on getting support for products that we've implemented, we follow the same path our customers do. Over the years, we found it's far more effective than going around, you know, the processes that are well established on how you deal with, you know, large-scale companies. But also it makes sure that it gives us firsthand exposure. Are these support processes, in fact, effective for Oracle? Hence, they'd be effective for our customers as well.
Speaking of customers, as I mentioned before, and as you've alluded to, many of your customers are in fact CIOs and IT departments of other major organizations. I wonder how you work to counsel them and leverage your point as chief information officer to lend an empathetic ear and perhaps share experiences in a different way than colleagues of yours who are in sales roles, for instance, might be able to as the organization is either pitching technology or otherwise speaking with your peers and other organizations about Oracle's offering.
Peter, by far, my favorite part of my job is my opportunity to go out and meet with business leaders, you know, around the world from different industries, both public and private. In fact, there's a lot of businesses I didn't even know existed. And so it's been a great aspect. So I do a number of large speaking events. But really my sweet spot that I enjoy the most are the roundtables, where we have this interaction amongst a group of my peers. And I find that what I talk about has little to do with technology and much more to do with leadership and lessons learned and how do you drive real value for the organization. In fact, a few years ago, I took a lead from David Letterman and did a top 10 list. And as I looked back at them, not a single one is about technology. Once again, it's all about leadership.
Can you talk a bit about some of the things that are strategic priorities for you as CIO of Oracle? What are some of the things that are on your current roadmap that you and your team are driving forward?
Well, there's a number. First of all, you know, everyone's aware that Oracle's made this really big push into the cloud. While we were cloud enablers and leveraged cloud technologies for well over a decade at Oracle, increasingly we're seeing our customers, you know, adopting software as a service, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, more recently data as a service. And so job number one for us is make sure that we as an IT community are enabling our business as we enable our customers. But second of all, we're looking at how do we realize a lot of the value. And just like a lot of our customers have a big focus on their customers as well as their employees, we do as well. So by leveraging cloud, how do we improve the customer experience from everything from how do we engage and nurture those customers, how we ultimately have a value proposition that's compelling to them, and how do we continue to grow that after we initially do the deal? And particularly as you become more and more cloud, it's not just about closing the deal, but it's earning the business every single day. And then something that I'm very, very passionate about is the employee experience. We'll add maybe 25,000 new employees to Oracle all around the world this year. And what can we do to make that experience as rich as possible from their onboarding? And then once they're on board, how can we see that they have the user experience, that they're gaining the insight? We're facilitating the collaboration not only within their department, within their organization, but all across Oracle and then extending into our ecosystem. So customer experience and employee experience are two areas that I think most every organization, by focusing on them, can really drive value to their enterprise.
Another area I wanted to explore with you, Mark, was you have served in the past and present on advisory boards or boards of directors of a variety of different organizations. And I know that this is an area that a lot of chief information officers are trying to get more into. It's traditionally been an area that's been a challenge, frankly, for CIOs to break into for a whole host of reasons. But I wonder if you could talk a bit about your own experience and how you originally got involved in advising companies and organizations on their board, how you got your foot in the door, so to speak.
Well, first of all, if you go back to my career, you know, I spent 10 years at Motorola, which was a very sizable company in the 90s. And so you are a strategic customer to most of your providers. And so that provided a great opportunity to not only engage and help direct the direction of their products and services, but a great opportunity to then partner and learn from your peers as participating in these. But then moving on to Siebel in 1999, where Siebel is on the cover of Fortune magazine as one of the fastest growing companies in the United States, and then selling to a lot of the major providers, whether it be telecom or other technology providers, it also, once again, provided that opportunity to be involved on it really advising where do these technologies need to go. But while I was at Siebel, I was asked to join the board of Altiris, which is a company that was in the system management, particularly desktop space. And that was a great experience over a few years to really get a different perspective. First of all, a company of a different scale, but also the type of discussions that go on with the boardroom that might have been a bit different than what I had experienced. we ultimately sold that company to Symantec. And then I had another board experience with a private company. And that was much, much different because you start getting an appreciation for when a company is truly in the embryonic state. I have only worked for very large companies, their challenges. And once again, they run into that issue I'd mentioned earlier about just because you can doesn't mean you should. There's typically many, many places to go after. And once again, the focus is on what are the strategic few. Now, other things, though, that I found important to participate as to not only help advance the community, but also you make sure that you're in touch with what's going on. For probably 10 years, I've been involved with the Utah Technology Council, which I'm currently the vice chair, which is an industry consortia. And once again, it provides that opportunity to connect with other organizations, more at the CEO level, as we're building the technology industry where I call home, which is Utah. But extended beyond that, I think it's valuable to participate in nonprofit boards because there's so much opportunity for the experience one has as a CIO of looking across an entire enterprise and how can technology and ultimately digital transformation help take them to another level. So it's been a variety of different things for me, and it's something I've really enjoyed. In fact, most recently, I just accepted to be on the board of a startup called Fan Angel that's in the crowdfunding for athlete space. And I'm excited because of what they're doing, not only in the crowdfunding, but also the social aspects.
Fascinating. And I wonder, what are some of the things that you bring back to your day job? Do you find that your experience at Siebel and at Oracle and some of the other organizations you were a part of during the period with which you were with these various organizations, was that enriched by virtue of your time spent on these boards and some of the insights that you gained from these other organizations and other executives you were exposed to?
Oh, absolutely. You get appreciation for what's really important at board level discussions, whether it's a strategy, whether it's at the execution level, you get more exposure to a broader set of metrics and indices and KPIs. Just having that kind of detailed look into another enterprise outside your own can be valuable, but particularly the depth at which you're able to do as a board member. Likewise, in other boards where they're community or industry, it provides the opportunity to understand what are the challenges, but also, perhaps more importantly, what are the solutions that others are employing, and you can see where you can bring that back. I found that, perhaps often to the discomfort of my team, that all the exposure I have to other organizations, whether it's the discussions that I have with other IT leaders or those by participating in various boards and other things, that I'm constantly coming back to them, well, shouldn't we consider this? Or have you considered this? Or what if we did this? That's one of the things that I think all of us as CIOs are really chartered to do, is understand what others are doing and see where it makes sense to apply that within our own organizations.
Is there advice you would offer to other CIOs who might wish to follow in your footsteps? One of the things I think I heard you say was, as you have opportunities to join the boards of nonprofits, for instance, that that's a great way to learn about the conversation one typically has at the board level as a enriching and fulfilling enterprise unto itself, while also gaining the kind of experience one might need in order to continue to explore other board opportunities at the same time. Is there other advice that you would provide to chief information officers who might wish to garner the kinds of experiences that would expose them more to these kinds of opportunities?
Well, absolutely. So I think the key things that boards should be thinking about are, what's our strategy? And now you can't divorce strategy from technology. So being able to really be at the heart of that strategic decision and how technology can play a role is, I think, imperative for being a CIO board member who aspires to be on boards. But other things as well of really helping drive the innovation opportunity, really help drive the synergy. You know, so much of how businesses operate are tied to the effectiveness of their processes and their corresponding systems. As a CIO, you have great exposure to what things work and, quite frankly, what things that don't work. And many of the biggest, most important investments companies make now are around the technology, around the processes, around their systems. So the more exposure you have, the more ability you have to speak at the strategic level, not the functional level. And I think the evolving role of the CIO continues to position them better. I've been doing this gig for a long time. The first three-fourths of my career, it was about integrating and operating technologies, whether we bought, built, had somebody else do it, pulled it out of the back closet. But technology from execution, operation, wires and boxes was an important part of the role. Increasingly, as we move to cloud-based solutions, stand on the shoulders of others, we're able to move from this integrate, operate to really more of a innovate and orchestrate, where we're able to deliver much more business value more rapidly. And then that puts us more in a strategic mindset, so to speak, I think, to add value not only to our own enterprise, but to be able to add to the dialogue with other companies as well.
You referenced earlier, Mark, the digital transformation that's happening across organizations. And I know that the executives or the traditional divisions of the organization that are claiming or are offered, as the case may be, leadership roles in determining digital strategy and digital direction vary organization by organization. But I wonder what your own perspectives are in terms of the role that the CIO can and should play in helping create a strategy as organizations move more towards digital reality.
Well, I think, first of all, as the CIO, it's your responsibility to earn a seat at the table. And then as you earn a seat at the table, there perhaps isn't anyone better within the organization to help drive the innovation, drive the digital transformation agenda. That said, corporate executive board did a study, and something like 50% of the investment outside of IT was related to innovation, whereas only 7% of the corporate IT is towards innovation. And so if that's the reality, and as much as 40% of the total IT spend is outside the IT team, it then becomes incumbent on the CIO and the IT community that how do they drive the most value from that, as opposed to looking at as shadow IT, what can we do to embrace and add real value, whether it's leveraging our skills around large-scale operations, security is something we haven't touched on, but it's increasingly important, whether it's around, you know, our ability to support and operate, integrate is another important aspect. So I think, first of all, once again, the CIO needs to earn it to sit at the table, should play a key role in the digital transformation, but should embrace the other parts of the organization that are making investments and help accelerate, help integrate, pulling the organization together to drive as much value from their IT investments as possible.
You mentioned security, certainly a topic I did want to raise with you as well. One of the ironies of this time is that CIOs are being called upon to help push forward the innovation agenda more than ever, which is, I think, a great hopeful sign. And the by definition, pushing forward an innovation agenda requires risk-taking. One is not innovating if they're batting 1,000. And at the same time, CIOs and enterprises generally are met with as challenging a security set of issues to contemplate and to manage as they ever have, and only growing more complex. And these are issues that are about risk mitigation, the exact opposite. And having, say, an imbalance in either direction could have really disastrous consequences. And I wonder what your own perspective is about ensuring that you have a good balance between those. And maybe you can take a little bit of a deeper dive, as we've talked a lot about some of the innovative topics that you and your team are working on, as to how you think about the security conundrum that CIOs currently are faced with.
Security is certainly an important issue. In fact, if I look at my budget over the last few years, it's the area that consistently year on year on year we've invested more in. While I think we are in a much better position relative to the kinds of technology and capability we have, you know, the threats have escalated at a very, very fast pace as well. But that said, back to your comment around risk, you know, I think risk, just like scope, schedule, and resources, risk is one of the dimensions that we have to look at whenever we take on a new endeavor. And so the amount of risk that we can take really depends on the nature of what we're trying to do. So for example, if something's customer facing, has critical Oracle customer or personal data, we need to put in different considerations than if we're trying out a new mobile app that is just touching a specific area. So we try to factor risk in as one of the dimensions equally important in balancing what we do and how we do it with the resources, the scope, and the schedule. So regarding security, though, the risk office reports directly to me, and the way we're structured, that includes security, privacy, business continuity, compliance, as well as threat, and certainly has a seat at the table on all strategic decisions, but also, as I was pointing out, it plays an important role on balancing the risk versus the reward we get by executing quickly.
You know, I think that it's interesting if one sees these major breaches that have met a variety of leading organizations and a whole range of industries, whether it's retail or financial services or entertainment, the amount of damage to the stock is often as much based upon the adequacy and how well thought out the response to the issue as the issue itself. And I think part of it is a growing recognition among investors and the general public that unfortunately the bad actors are very smart. And if they have a company in their sights, there are creative ways in which to penetrate. And so those organizations that have, you mentioned business continuity as a topic, for instance, who have plans, you know, if disaster strikes, what then? It sounds like based upon the way in which you broke down those areas of security that are in your bailiwick that report to you, that this is something that you do in terms of scenario analysis or contemplating the different possibilities and what the response will be. But can you talk a little bit about sort of philosophically the way in which you think about that?
Well, first of all, at the broader sense, Oracle's brand is tied around security. You know, our very first customers were in the intelligence business. And so it's immensely important, not only then for Oracle, but since so many of our customers, whether we're operating their environments, their data as part of our public cloud, or we're providing support for their systems, we have a great deal of customer data that we're responsible for as well. So nothing carries a higher priority for us at Oracle than ensuring the security and privacy of ours and our customer data. So the things that we think about is, you know, what can we do to prevent? Then the second thing is, what can we do to detect? Because there will be breaches. And if there was any area that we're putting special focus on, it's mitigate. So that's being able to respond incredibly quickly, incredibly professionally, understand what the breach is, resolve it as rapidly as possible, and then handle all the appropriate communication, you know, that's required both internally and as required externally. So we think about it truly on a daily basis of preventing, detecting, but really what are we going to do to mitigate so we are effective at responding, we're effective at communicating, and we can move forward as rapidly as possible.
You have had the opportunity for nearly 10 years now to work and collaborate with Larry Ellison, obviously on the short list of the legendary people within the tech space. I'm curious what that collaboration has been like. What's it been like to work with Ellison?
Well, Larry, in addition of Safra and Mark, you know, I've been incredibly honored every single time I'm in the room. The insight, the ability to make decisions, the ability to get beyond all the kind of weeds and see the broader picture and then decide how to move on. You know, I talked earlier about my David Letterman top 10 list. And as I count down, number one on my list, as I paraphrase, every people have the government they deserve, I believe that every organization has the IT capability it deserves. And so with Larry, with Safra, with Mark, their ability to rapidly assess the situation, determine what makes most sense long term, you know, make the decision, ensures that we're continuously re-engineering, optimizing, and then leveraging technology to drive value for our company by simplifying, centralizing, and standardizing, and then automating. And so with Larry, it's been great to just observe how he has so forward-thinking and then makes really big decisions that seem kind of like mind-blowing, but on the other hand, makes so much sense. And so we've dealt a lot with that as we've continued to evolve. You know, when I joined, we were probably around 45,000 end users. Now we're 140. You know, we've acquired over 120 companies. And so that ability to rapidly make decisions. In fact, we have a tenant here at Oracle that you can recover from a poor decision. There is no recovery from indecision. And I think that's what a lot of organizations do, is they stew and they can't make the decisions. Or if they do, parts of the organization, well, they didn't really mean me, or passive resistance. We're very fortunate to have a strong leadership team that makes the call, realizing that the vast majority are going to be right, but sometimes we need to make mid-course corrections and then respond to that as well.
Mark, we've spoken about a variety of important trends that are at the intersection of technology and more broader business value. I wonder if there are any that we've missed that are on your radar, any additional areas that you're contemplating and looking to invest in or excited professionally or personally to see how those trends play out.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I just agreed to join the board of a crowdfunding organization, but I think the whole crowdsourcing capability in general is very intriguing as you look across a wide variety of industries. I mean, we've seen how disruptive it's been in transportation and in the hospitality space, but we're seeing increasingly it having similar disruptions. So whether it be crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, I think that's a very, very exciting area. Another thing that it's got to be top of mind with every CIO is the Internet of Everything. And as I go around, I'm somewhat surprised at how many CIOs kind of minimize the impact they feel it will have on their business or their industry. And so for me, I'm kind of trying to take the other aspect of every business I encounter, try to think of, well, how can this be impacted? What are the opportunities? What are the disruptors? What are the challengers that might be a result of this? So certainly the Internet of Everything is another area. And then the third one that comes to mind is really leveraging all of the data. We at Oracle just recently announced a data as a service, but there is so much incredible data. But being able to turn that into meaningful insight across every aspect of the operation, not just what we often think about, and that's with our customers and social data and so forth, but also what can do to improve our operations, improve our supply chain, improve our ecosystem. So data is another area that I think, while there's been an awful lot of talk, I think there's a great bit more value that's going to be driven out of the next several years.
Well, Mark Sunday, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing a bit about your own practices across a number of years as a CIO of multiple organizations. It's been a great conversation.
Well, thank you very much, Peter, for having me.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009.
Both the book and the forum on world-class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.